Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Our scripture lessons are from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 11 and verse 16, Psalm 89, verses 1 through 5 and 19 through 29, Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27, and the Gospel according to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Today's message is titled Eternal and Incarnation. Hear from 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. After the king, that's King David, after the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own, and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you." Now verse 16. "For your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Here ends our reading from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Psalm 89. A Maskil of Ethan, the Ezrahite. "I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, 'I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations.' Selah. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones." Now jumping down to verse 19. "Once you spoke in a vision to your faithful people, you said, 'I have bestowed strength on a warrior. I have exalted a young man from among the people. I have found David my servant with my sacred oil. I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. No enemy will subject him to tribute. No wicked man will oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. My faithful love will be with him, and through my name his horn will be exalted. I will set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He will call out to me, 'You are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior.' I will also appoint him my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. I will maintain my love to him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure." Here ends our reading from Psalm. Romans chapter 16, beginning of verse 25. "Now, to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, beginning now at verse 26. In the sixth month, that is of Elizabeth's pregnancy, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Here ends the reading from the Gospel of Luke. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help, for you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Martin Luther's prayer and ours. When does your life story begin? When did my life story begin? Or when does anyone's life story begin? The answer is conception. When the two become one. And did you know that scientists have captured that flash of light? That spark when fertilization happens as a new human life begins? Life prompted by the release of zinc. Yeah, zinc. The process described is this. As the zinc shoots out, it binds to small molecules which emit a fluorescence, which can be picked up by camera microscopes. Fascinating, as many have termed the spark of life. For in the beginning, and this is why it's really fascinating, for in the beginning, the first words of creation spoken by the Lord was, "Let there be light." The first command of creation was, "Let there be light." Fascinating, truly fascinating, that a measurable light is emitted at conception. At the instant the genes that are set forth as boy or genes set forth as girl If it's a Y that came in, it's a boy. If it's an X came in, it's a girl. And that's set at the moment of conception for the entirety of life. There is no changing this fundamental truth of the order of life, of male and female. It is set as life begins with that spark of life, and this truth, as this implantation of this new life, it causes physiological changes in the woman as it's implanted in the wall of the uterus. I mean, from the very first blurry images of a tiny baby moving in a room, and now to these incredible clear images, as technology has come a long way from the first sonograms of the mid-1950s. And now with these advances, we got clearer and clearer pictures of the baby in the womb. Baby in the womb, it's possible. Individuality of the baby is seen. Legs moving, arms moving, fingers moving. The wonder and the amazement and the miracle of what is happening in a mother's womb. And people knew. And people knew long before sonograms, long before what we term is called modern science. Men and women knew how babies came to be. Portraying ancient humans as stupid and incompetent and ignorant, it's utter arrogance and it's nonsense. Luke writes of Mary answering the angel, and this is the Greek word order translated into English. How will this be since a man not I know? How will this be since a man I know not know? I know in Greek is gnesko. Gnesko. It means to know through personal experience, to experientially know. And the way this word is used here and other places, it refers to experiencing intimacy. Intimacy. Mary knows about the birds and the bees and answers, I have never been with a man, never ever known intimacy. No possibility of being with child. The angel came with a message, and this is the message. After greeting Mary and telling her, not be afraid, she has found favor with God. The angel says, Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. The Greek is even more specific than the English. Again, the English from the Greek word order. And behold, you will conceive in womb and will bring forth a son. Womb. It literally means to have a child in the belly. Means to be with child. Mary, you will conceive and be with child. And specifically, bring forth a son. Now, what's interesting about this word, Greek word conceive, it has an active participation aspect to it in the Greek roots. This active participation, Mary, you will actively be involved in what happens too as the child is conceived. Now, taking a step back to understand better what is happening here, we heard the name David, specifically House of David and Throne of David. Mary is betrothed to Joseph of the house of David. Being betrothed is taken as seriously as being married, actually married, by all parties involved, and for them, the whole town, this is a done deal. Mary will be Joseph's wife, as she is already considered Joseph's wife, because the marriage agreement is in place. To break a betrothal is just as serious as to break a marriage. You'll find this in Matthew chapter 1, where Joseph is called her husband, and he has plans to quietly divorce her as she is found to be with a child, before he, that's Joseph and Mary, had come together. Mary says, a man I know not. She is keeping with the expectations of the faith through the ages. Chastity before marriage, fidelity in marriage. Anything else is contrary to the word of God and is sin. The command of God is really to protect your heart and to protect your soul. And is the favored position of the Lord God, as Mary is described, as finding favor with God. There's just something about Mary, and also Joseph too, something about the two of them. They're betrothed. That means they're married. Even though marriage ceremony has come, they're married. And the Lord has come to Mary and Joseph. The Lord's coming to both in a sense. And this is for one. I mean, for this time. This is the right time. This is the time for the promises to be fulfilled. The promises that were given. One can go back all the way to the very beginning in human history where the promise was first given. You find it in Genesis chapter 3, specifically verse 15. And it comes right after the fall of humanity into sin. Right after the fall into sin, this promise is given. Verse 15, Genesis chapter 3. And this is God speaking, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Strike the heel, that's inflicting injury. Crushing the head is putting to death. Yes, the evil one will injure. The son of the woman will destroy the evil one. As the years pass, more specifics are given about this promised one. Of the house of David, to sit on the throne of David. That's one of the main overarching themes of the promise. House of David, throne of David, everlasting. I mean, 2 Samuel, we heard of David wanting to build a house for the Lord. Though the Lord did not ask for a house to be built, the tabernacle was sufficient. It was given by God to Moses. As a warrior, David would not build the house for the Lord. Rather, David's son would build it. David will go to the grave in peace with this promise. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Roughly 1,000 years later, the angel is sent to Mary in fulfillment of this promise to David. For the one to be born to Mary, a son, this one will sit on the throne forever. Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 32. "He will be great." That's the boy born of Mary. "He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." We are hearing of forever. We are hearing will never end. We are hearing Son of the Most High will be called great, be called Son of the Most High. And there's no baby boy here. Something more. Something much, much more. For this angel is specific that the Holy Spirit will come upon Mary and the power. That word in Greek is dunamis. Dunamis, the dunamis, like dynamite, the power. And dunamis means the ability to perform. God's inherent abilities, doing what the Lord God wills to do. God acting as God, bringing about His will. And God acting as God, bringing about His will, fulfilling His promises. Mary, a child will be conceived in you. God will do this. God is able to do this. And God will do this. For this is the will of God. Therefore, holy. Yes, we heard that word holy there too. Holy being born. Holy one will be called the Son of God. Being born is that image of procreation, of begotten. That's what the Greek word being born, it's begotten. Offspring of the holy, begotten of the holy, begotten of God, Son of God. And Mary, the proof this will be in you is your cousin Elizabeth, known to be barren, is in her old age, is now in her sixth month with child. For nothing is impossible with God. When God wills it, God does it. Consider what this means. Mary will be with child, a son, by the power of God. Impossible, many say. And as a result, they doubt, they disbelieve, and they go on to construct stories of how Mary was violated, or in this story of the angel was constructed and created to cover up what really happened. Those who take this perspective do not understand the dunamis of God, the power, ability of God to fulfill His will. The dunamis of God, the power of the will of God to do these things. The will of God brought about all of creation. The vastness of the stars, which I went over last week and all that. The vastness of the stars, the galaxies, the planets. You got all this great vastness, but then you also got the intricacies and those micro details of atoms, electrons, neutrons, protons, quarks, leptons, bosons, and there's many more tiny, hypothetical, tiny particles they're still searching and hypothesizing about until you reach pure energy. The will of God gave life to creatures of dust, plants, birds of the air, fish of the sea, and the breath of life was breathed into the nostrils of the first man. Life begets life. It's an axiom of biology. Life begets life. The dunamis of God can and did place in Mary, you will conceive. And she conceived. God is life. And this God who is life gave us life. And in Mary, God will conceive human life. The eternal will, in some fantastic manner, take on human flesh and blood and bone and enter into human history, just like any other human being born of a woman. Can I fathom this? No, not at all. Is it possible to get the human mind around how great God is and the vastness of God? And that greatness and vastness becomes a mortal man? It's a lot more than Genie in the movie Aladdin who says, phenomenal cosmic power, itty bitty living space. No, the vastness of the eternity of creation, beyond creation, the vastness of the eternity living God enters into the creation and becomes a human. A living human, first in the womb of his mother. And then when the time comes to be born, as you were born, as I was born, as everyone is born, to breathe air for the first time. But this does not mean human identity begins with the breathing of the air after leaving the womb. Human identity and life are there in the womb at conception. And this life was there in Mary's womb, as Mary experienced, as mothers experience, as fathers watch, that elbow stick out, that foot stick out, you know, that rear end pushing itself around mother's tummy. Uncomfortable for her, fascinating for me. Uncomfortable for her, fascinating. A wow moment. Did you see that? I would say, and my wife answered, yeah, I felt that. I mean, very God of very God becomes human through conception and is born as you and me and all humans throughout history were born, growing, or in the words of Psalm 139, knitted together in the mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made in that secret place, in the womb until that moment of birth, the eternal became incarnate. To be savior of fallen humanity. Mary went from, how can this be? I know not a man. To Luke chapter 1 verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary accepted the explanation of the angel, and so should you accept the explanation of the angel. God's presence and power will do this. The Greek of Mary's answer is also fascinating. "Since then, Mary, behold," excuse me, "said then Mary, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, may it happen to me according to the word of you." What you have said, may it happen. That phrase, "it, may it happen," in the Greek is that word ginomai, I've spoken of several times in the past couple weeks. Ginomai. And ginomai means the things of eternal God coming into the physical presence of time, space, and all that. So ginomai, Mary's answer is saying God's eternal action. These words made emerge from eternity and come into the physical time and space, and the time and space is in her womb as she conceives. The eternal will of God entering into human history of physical time and space. And here it's in Mary's womb, in conception. Mary essentially says, "Lord, your will be done." She is acknowledging the eternal aspect becoming physical in time and space. A child will be conceived in her by the power of the living God. Next thing we know is Mary's packing up and heading off to visit Elizabeth, her relative. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea." This, the way it's written, it's very possible it's the very next morning after this angelic visit that Mary packs up and heads off to visit Elizabeth. A short journey, we don't know exactly how long, but a few days by foot. And now pay attention to what happens when Mary reaches her destination. I begin now Luke chapter 1 at verse 40. "When she," that's Mary, "entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear.' But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." The baby was already conceived by this time of Mary entering Elizabeth's house. Mary is described by Elizabeth as mother of my Lord. The baby, just a few days after conception, is already recognized as the Lord by the sixth-month baby in Elizabeth's womb that leaps for joy. And Mary bursts forth into song, beginning now at verse 46 of Luke chapter 1. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." The eternal has become incarnate. Do I understand? No, I do not understand. Do I believe? Yes, I believe. For what I have just spoken of is human history. It's not fantasy. It is actual human history. This child will be born of Mary. This baby boy will grow up and give many signs that he is indeed the Son of God. This Jesus, the name given to him, as the angel said, "Name the boy Jesus." This Jesus would save us from our sins, exactly as the name Jesus means. Crucified and risen for us. Did Mary know all of what was to come? No, she didn't. But she did know how this child, this boy, came to be in her womb. And it was the power of God. The eternal Lord God brought this about by His will. The eternal entered into creation, conceived in a woman's womb. The incarnation of the eternal in human history really did happen. Believe. Believe. And receive the salvation Jesus brings. Amen. And amen.